Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it doesn't want to work. Switchboard, don't you love when that happens?
Yeah, not really. That's kind of annoying when that happens.
This is quite annoying. This is the only one that has some numbers by it that says it wants to work. So we'll try this one. Not that I mind this song. I love it.
yeah, we're going to explain about this one.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
So this morning, Jim and I was sharing juice, of course, but we didn't forget about you guys this morning.
No, we're here.
Now, see, there's a question I forgot to ask you now, but I have to ask you that after the show. Hello, you people out there in Munchkin Land. We are so tired and crazy this morning.
Yeah, tired and crazy, but I got some writing up. I got some stories done. It was very nice.
Me too, but it makes no sense to be doing that at 5:30 this morning is what I have to say.
I got some SL elopement going on. Yeah. Did you elope again? Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
You didn't read? Oh, yeah. Don't cut me.
I did not read because I was busy posting this morning.
It was all Belle's fault.
Whose fault?
All Bella's fault.
Oh, of course. Blame it on somebody else because she clicked that little button that says, yes, I accept your proposal.
Oh, we were already partnered, but we actually had the beach elopement.
Did you borrow my beach elopement? Now I have to do something different. Now I have to do something different. Think vampires next time. I'm gonna get married on that True Blood sim that I found yesterday.
Oh, I wanna go to that.
That is hot. Okay, that's enough of grounds for divorce. Although it's very appropriate. if only I could find it. How about it just disappear from the switchboard? What is going on today?
It's gonna be one of those days. It's Thursday, though. It's Thursday. We're so close to the weekend.
Yeah, and we gotta do this twice today. What is going on? I can't find it. That is weird. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I guess we're going to have to do the news over this until it decides it doesn't want to. Ah, look, it just reappeared. All right, you were listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Apparently, we need something.
Yeah. Something. We're not sure what. Something.
The oddest thing already.
I know.
Oh, we're on the air, aren't we?
Oh, we are. All right, I guess I could,
you know.
There's a new study out, and I'm kind of interested by it.
All right, do share while I eat these crackers.
Yeah. GamePolitics.com this morning. Study finds disparities in download speeds throughout the U.S.
I told you I wasn't crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not. According to data collected by Pando Networks, a content delivery provider for popular free-to-play and online games such as League of Legends, Lord of the Rings Online, and MapleStory, today revealed disparities in the quality of web access in various cities throughout America. The data is based on tracking downloads of 4 million users' game and patch downloads across the country from January through June 2011. Pando Network's study found that some cities are averaging connectivity speeds as much as 10 times faster than those in other cities. The study also found core differences with average speeds on a state-by-state basis. The data indicates that the faster states was Rhode Island with an average of 894 kbps. On a regional basis, the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic region contained 8 of the 10 fastest states. with California, Oregon, and Washington in the top 15. The West Coast was also a remarkably speedy region. All right, I don't know who wrote this, but seriously. on the other hand, the rural Midwest and Mountain West states, of which Idaho is a member, comprise 9 of the 10 slowest states. Generally, the slower downloading Generally, the slower downloading rural states were also the least likely to complete a download once it started, with some notable exceptions. Users in Hawaii, dealing with an average of 432 kilobytes per second, still managed to complete 87% of downloads. Colorado residents averaged a relatively slow 474 kilobytes per second, but managed to complete 86% of downloads. Bucking the trend in the opposite direction, the District of Columbia enjoys an average of 759 kilobytes per second, but only completes 80% of downloads. Culver City, California, the headquarters of Pando Network's client Riot Games, had the highest average of completion rate at 98%. But the numbers are even more interesting when looking at various cities throughout the country. The fastest download averages tend to be concentrated in fairly affluent metropolitan suburbs, according to Pando. Topping the list is Andover, a suburb of Boston, with a median income of $114,000 and average download speeds of 2,801 kilobytes per second. Other notable high average suburbs include Burke, Virginia, outside of D.C., and Santa Monica, California, outside of Los Angeles. The slowest downloading towns tend to be in rural areas with low incomes. Taking the bottom spot is Pocatello, a small community in Idaho, with a medium income of $34,000. Other notably slow communities include Yuma, Arizona, in the Mojave Desert, and Mission, Texas. Only 270 kilobytes per second, near the Mexican border. All right, so if you want to read more about that study or see if your city is on the list, you can head over to pandonetworks.com. I wonder if my city's on there. I'm opening up that right now.
Was mine on there?
No, I did not see Houston. But they only mentioned that one little city in Texas. And I want to know what all the towns they did. I want to know what ours were.
I want to know what mine is so I can call Comcast and give them what for.
Mm-hmm.
You lying sons of... Oh, anyway. There is so much lovely news to share with you this morning. Industry Gamers is reporting that Nintendo's sales are plummeting and the 3DS is blamed. There's been a price cut. I don't know about you, but while you are laughing and pointing, I'm going out to get me a 3DS because this is just what I was waiting on. Nintendo has sold 4.32 million 3DS units since launch earlier this year, along with 13.96 million pieces of DS hardware or 3DS hardware in the first quarter, ended June the 30th. Why can't I talk? Ginger, why can't I talk?
I don't know. I was having the same issue, too. I don't know.
It's like my tongue is swollen. It's not. Nintendo sold 710,000 3DS units and 4.53 million Nintendo 3DS games. The new 3D handheld, however, has not met Nintendo's expectations. In fact, Nintendo largely blamed the 3DS for its first quarter performance, in which the company saw a net loss of 25.5 billion euros, I'm assuming, which equates to about 324 million U.S. dollars, and the sales drop over 50% to 93.9 billion, which is about 1.19 billion for us. The 3DS is expected to ship 16 million units during the fiscal year and around 70 million games, but Nintendo obviously feels that the 3DS needs a boost. So, effective August the 12th, the handheld is being slashed down to, I don't have a fanfare or I would play it for you, so I'm saying it instead, $169.99 from its original $249 launch price. Now, while more AAA 3DS software is coming this year, there's been not much to speak of so far other than Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D. Nintendo lamented that they had a few other hit titles to make it up to fans. Current 3DS owners will also be entitled to 20 free eShop games. Since for anyone who's been on the fence about buying a 3DS, this is a huge motivation to buy now. This is from the president, Reggie, there. He says, we're giving shoppers every incentive to pick up a Nintendo 3DS, from an amazing new price to a rapid-fire succession of games. All of the bad news around Nintendo's earnings has prompted the company to slash its financial forecast, too. For the current year ending March 31st, Nintendo is slashing its estimated profits by nearly 82%, which is quite a drastic difference. It It's now expecting to see net income of about $254.16 million compared to its original forecast of $1.4 billion. I think a lot of people are suffering this fate, and it has to do with marketing.
Yes.
Putting all your eggs in one basket. It used to be these guys were all over the game websites, and now they're narrowing it down. And we'll probably bitch about this later, but you guys are narrowing it down to your what you figure as your top tier three websites. But the 3DS and handhelds, I hate to tell you, it's mostly a girl thing. We usually tend to own the handhelds before the guys do because mm-hmm. we like to multitask. I'm not doing anything. I think I'm going to play a game while I wait. Not to say guys don't, but we're more apt to do it. I usually see more women with their handhelds out at the movies when we're waiting, all kinds of stuff. So you didn't come to us, Nintendo. We tried to tell you.
We tried to tell y'all, but you'll never listen.
We tried to tell you. If you'd have sent us a couple,
mm-hmm.
we got big mouths.
We do.
We would have helped you sell a few of those. So
mm-hmm.
let's talk about it again. Because we could use a 3DS, I'm just saying.
Yes, we could. All right, so Kickin' Kickin' Mama wants a necklace now.
Kickin' Mama or was that Cookin' Mama?
Kickin'.
Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
Hothead Games debuts a new child punting genre on iOS.
Child punting?
Oh, my God, yes. Indie developer Hothead Games today announced Kickin' Mama, a hilarious new game for the iPhone and iPad. In this game, players control Mama as she aims and drop kicks her babies into a shiny field of jewels and gems.
This is not going to go over well.
No. Once launched into the air, Mama's helpful children will hit, bounce, and ping off of pegs like pinballs. Why do they do this? So Kickin' Mama can have a shiny new necklace, of course. With the right strategy and a bit of luck, you'll be able to win all the gems to unlock the next level. The Shimmering Adventure begins August 4th of 2011. Kickin' Mama's children will do anything to make her happy, including being kicked into fire, ice, and explosive pegs, and being booted around 36 fun-filled levels to find all gems in the game's three dynamic worlds. Players can also earn bronze, silver, and gold medals upon completion of each level, as well as unlock fashionable accessory items to dress up Mama. Mama can be pimped out with costume items such as kicking boots, a mustache, a crown, and a monocle, while questing for Mama's most wanted prize piece, a gem-encrusted necklace. Game Center encourages masterful Mamas to compete with their friends for achievements or bragging rights to the highest place on the leaderboards. Prepare to kick the kids, collect the shiny gems, and wear the necklace as everyone's favorite Kickin' Mama. Players can pick up Kickin' Mama on the iTunes App Store starting on August 4th, 2011 for $1.99 or play it in HD for $3.99. Wow.
Mm. Okay.
That's a YouTube trailer. I got to check this out.
Okay, I'm actually responding to because I got a little blurb in about a game. Crimson Alliance, have you heard about that one?
I have not.
Well, it's a new RPG for the XBLA. It's very short, so if you don't mind, Ginger, what I do. Yeah.
She kicked the baby.
She kicked the baby. Shh. It's okay. Well, Sony is saying, you know what? We're maybe a little bit of drama queenish. Just a little bit. They're saying that they're reassessing the cost of the cyber attack, and it's probably not quite as bad as we originally predicted. In its official presentation, according to the lovelies over at GamesIndustry.biz, of its quarter one earnings, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Masaru Koto really revealed that the total cost may be smaller than the original cost estimate. In May, Sony predicted that the attacks would cost around, $171 million. And by the end of the 2012 fiscal year, he said that was the May forecast, the first quarter cost was within our expected range. He also revealed that the user numbers are returning to the level seen before the cyber attacks. He said most recently user logins to the PlayStation Network in North America have returned to a similar level as before the cyber attacks. He says many customers have already returned to our service. And at one point, people were concerned, but the impact will not be as great as we originally estimated. Yeah, we told you that it wouldn't be. Gamers don't have very long memories, unless they're us.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot to share about the Crimson. I started talking about the Crimson Alliance, so I'm going to throw that one in there, too. These are both short. Those of you, I just got some lovely screenshots for the new RPG that's out on XBLA, or will be soon, called Crimson Alliance. It will allow you to choose between three classes and battle against the sinister cult of the Soul Siren. That sounds like a singing group.
Soul Siren.
Yeah. So you can do this with up to three friends on a single console or via Xbox Live. The world of Crimson features labyrinth crypts, ruined cities, deadly traps, and hidden treasures populated by elite mini-bosses and the devious minions they control. Each of the... my brain went in three or four different directions, and I hate that. Each of the three main characters has their own motivations revealed in a story-driven co-op campaign of betrayal, foul magic, and ancient secrets. So as soon as I hit this button, of course, you can have your own view of Crimson Alliance. Got lovely screenshots. I think they're not too big. I need to check first before I say so. Y'all know how they are.
Mm-hmm.
They will send us. Oh, girl, no, these are huge. You have to wait a minute. Wow. Do we really need 8,000 by 8,000 screenshots? I'm just
really, people,
not convinced that we need screenshots that big. Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. So the free Red Dead Redemption Myths and Mavericks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The bonus pack DLC is coming in September.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. As previously announced, we've got a special and completely free bonus pack of Red Dead Redemption DLC coming as a show of appreciation for the awesome long-term support of the game's multiplayer modes since its release in 2010. Today we can confirm the title for you. The Myths and Mavericks bonus pack will feature new fan-favorite multiplayer characters by popular demand, including a certain grizzled old gunslinger, as pictured above, which if you go over to GameNatrix.com, you can check that out, as well as new multiplayer locations for players of Deathmatch, Grab the Bag, Gang Matches, and other popular online modes to get busy in. We expect the pack to be finished and available for download on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network in September. They say, for those who are asking about a return of to the original Undead Overrun multiplayer mode settings, we are planning to release a title update in the lead up to the new free DLC pack, which will address that. So, yay, head over to GameMatrix.com to check out the artwork.
Don't you love when I'm just talking all muted and stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love when I'm talking all muted.
Yeah.
Just like, what is that girl?
I don't know if I like, she's munching on some crackers.
No, I was busy chatting away. But I have to share this lovely bit of news from Game Politics this morning. Poor people over at Modern Warfare. You know, maybe you should just give up that whole genre. I'm just saying. Activision's Infinity Ward studio, and this is being reported by Game Politics, has commented on a report by the UK-based Daily Mail newspaper, who recently wrote an overreaction to an upcoming mission set in New York City. The Daily Mail story...
Overreaction.
Yes, an overreaction. You can find that story, a link to it, actually, up on GamePolitics.com. They played up the Russian assault on New York depicted in Modern Warfare 3, comparing it to what happened on September 11th, 2001. When asked by website MS Xbox World if he was concerned at all about how players and the public at large will perceive the Russian assault in New York, Infinity Ward creative strategist Robert Bowling said that he wasn't at all concerned. He says, I'm not too worried about it because the conflict that's raging in Modern Warfare 3 is very different from any real-life scenario because this is a war. This is a full-on Russian military invasion of the entire U.S. that started in Modern Warfare 2, Bowling said. He says they've already disabled Washington, D.C., and the war has just organically been progressing off the East Coast, and New York is a major city that would. So this is very different because it's full-on military fighting through the streets. So I think there's going to be very clear... Well, that's going to be very clear once people play it, get their hands on, and see what type of conflict this is, and then it spreads to the other major cities. Modern Warfare 3 story will see players visiting other real-world locations, including London, Paris, and Berlin, and other places throughout the world, and I want to know why you didn't come to Texas.
Yeah.
We are important, in case you people didn't know. We're where all the oil and stuff comes from. They're, you know, most likely they would not be touching New York. I mean, I know they went after New York, but in all honesty, since they've already hit it up, we are next on the list.
Yeah.
And even we knew that here in Houston during 9/11. Mm-hmm. Our mayor came on the TV, like, right when it was happening and said, oh, by the way, We know you're watching this, but you all need to go home. All you people that are in this sphere of area right here on the map, you need to go home now.
Go home now.
Go home. You need to get out of harm's way because you are in harm's way whether you realize it or not. Oh, we're Houstonians. Oh, no, you didn't know who we were. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to go home. Anyway, the original story is over dailymail.co.uk if you want to go and read that and comment. You know what? These people are overreacting. Now that I'm looking at they're trying to compare screenshots to what's in the game. It mm-hmm. is very much overreaction. This is not the same thing, people. Yes, they used a real-world location, but they're actually posting pictures of real events in comparison. And none of them are 9/11, by the way, since they made a big deal about it. None of these pictures that they're posting are New York.
Knee-jerk reactions. All right, people, breathe. I mean, I understand some people are like, it's too soon. We don't want anything to, you know, remind people, da-da-da-da-da. But come on, it's not even about that.
If it were about that and they... Even still, I don't know that I would initially be upset now. If it was, you know, a couple of weeks after, like I would expect some idiot not to make a game about what just happened in Norway. But it's been quite a few years. I would expect, however, you to donate proceeds to the families or, you know, or something to do with that at this point. But and I may not be able to play it. But I don't think it's a. I don't think we're still in the it's too soon thing. It's been like 10 years.
We've got people who are coming into adulthood now that are going to be just about too young when it happened to actually remember much of it.
Yeah, some not even born.
No, they're going to remember their parents talking about it. They're going to remember their siblings talking about it. But they were, you know, 8 or 9 years old when it happened. Most of them aren't really going to remember too much. 8-year-olds, while yes, they can be intuitive, aren't really going to care too much.
No, I can personally attest to my grandmother saying she was, you know, around during World War II and explaining to me what happened. And when I was playing one of the Call of Duties, which was set during that time, I got a little teary-eyed, but I obviously don't have the same connection that she did. You know, when she was watching it, it kind of bothered her a lot more than it did me, which will be the same for the kids now. We were around and we saw it. It's not going to bother them as much. They may bother you to hear us say that, but they just weren't there. This doesn't have the same impact.
No.
They will never remember a world where you could just go through the airport or sit and watch your loved one take off from the plane or stand near the gate. They didn't grow up with it. It doesn't mean anything to them. This is normal for them. We're complaining, you know, about the airports and having to take off shoes and they have to search you. They will never remember that there was a time when you didn't. Not ever.
No.
So I think we need to not be making such an uproar about and it's a game. They have the option not to play.
Exactly.
Just don't play.
All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, it looks like they pulled this from Media Post. Children driving consumer electronics purchasing decisions. New research from the NPD Group reveals that many consumer electronics purchases are made with the express purpose of letting the kids use them. According to the company, 78% of portable video game systems purchased and 56% of portable digital media players purchased were for kids. Because, you know, digital babysitters. The research also shows that there are almost as many kids using computers, 73% these days, as there are those using television, 74%.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
Mm-hmm. 3/5 of kids, 60%, are using a portable or console gaming system as well. A child's presence in a household is a driving force in adoption of newer technologies, according to the data. Among households with children between the ages of 4 and 14, e-readers and media tablets were acquired at 8 and 5% rates, respectively, over the past year. The number of days in which children use cell phones, media players, and portable video game systems has declined as new technologies drive trends in usage. NPD says that this change in usage may be the short term as new devices due to novelty factors. All right, so Fraser said in a statement, kids who have access to a media tablet may temporarily put down their portable video game system, but not necessarily move away from the gaming system altogether. And households with kids ages 4 to 14, I'm so tired, people, pricing is still the most important factor in deciding to buy technology. Most purchases are being made over the Internet, according to NPD, because it is easier to comparison shop and find the best prices. Yes, it is. Obviously, consumer electronics devices carry a hefty price tag as compared to something like a toy item, says Fraser. Online shopping gives purchasers an easy way to seek out the best prices and offers. All right. So pretty much if you have kids, you're going to have more geek gadgetry, which is awesome.
Never have too much geek gadgetry.
No
way. Not ever.
I know. As much as I hate going to that store that I will not name because they gouge prices, I love going through there. Looking
Walmart.
At stuff. Walmart, too, but I was thinking Best Buy.
Yeah, that was next on my list. Okay. I apologize for the crackers. I'm out of order.
Yes, yes, you are. You're so out of order. She's always out of order. Y'all have no idea. This woman?
Yeah. I stay out of order, true. Mm-hmm. All right, the ESRB is having a party tonight. You know you want to
go.
You know you want to go. Everybody can go because it's on Twitter.
I'm going to take a nap first.
So we got to do a show. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Yeah, we'll be finished. We'll be just finished with the show right about the time the party starts. So that's good.
All right, good.
According to a post on the ESRB's Facebook page, Twitter users can participate by sending messages with the hashtag ESRB from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time with any questions about video games, video game ratings and safety. Those that participate will be eligible to win by random drawing a variety of prizes such as a $50 GameStop card. It needs to be a little more than that. You can't buy a game with that card. I'm being nitpicky. Participants, of course, include ESRB Elliot Mizrahi at OK to Play, Mary Heston from Wired Moms, John Ryle from Family Friendly Video Games, Carissa Rogers from at Carissa Rogers, Barb Lykos from at Chaotic Barb, and Tiffany Knopf at Bloggy Moms. Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know about that. Make sure you join in, participate. They need the help. Most definitely need the help because, you know, like I said, they haven't been doing enough in my book to bring this to the forefront. So I'm very happy that they're doing this. Very, very happy.
you already read that story, so I got to find a different one. All right.
You're causing mayhem.
Me? No way.
You know how you are.
I know. I'm horrible. I'm just awful. Oh, my God. All right. So Evil Controllers wants to upgrade your controller. Evil Controllers has offered custom gaming products for some time, and in the spirit of providing customers with the best opportunities, they have recently announced a new line of controller modifications, Evil's send-in service. Customers are now able to create their own custom controllers by selecting individual 360 controller parts. Once customers have designed their custom color scheme, Evil Controllers will install the controller mod and custom parts in-house and quickly ship the controller to their customers. This provides gamers with a controller that is completely of their own design and that best represents their personal style, while maintaining the same level of quality that can be expected from Evil Controllers. These customizable parts allow customers to select from a variety of colors for thumbsticks, bumpers, triggers, and bottom trims of the controller as well as the outer shell. Custom LED light inserts are also available and in junction with clear thumbsticks or controller bodies. These upgrades greatly increase the appeal of any controller. Evil Controllers works with the highest quality parts and ensures that each controller, I think they meant parts, and ensures that each controller passes their 12-step quality assurance test before shipping them out. But apparently this, you know, press release missed that quality assurance. As well as offering the option to design a custom color scheme, Evil Controllers has recently announced that they are allowing customers to send in their existing controllers for customization. This cuts down on costs for the customers and gives them access to the same mods and parts without having to purchase a brand new controller. Customers that decide to send in controllers are able to install Rapid Fire, Fast Reload, and all of Evil's line of mods, while at the same time upgrading the aesthetic appeal of their controller. Evil Controllers is very excited and proud to announce their send-in service. The quality of this new line of products is top-notch, and it provides gamers with a new way to get ahead of their competition. In accordance with Evil's already sterling catalog of controller mods and custom accessories, this new opportunity feels right at home. All right, so if you're interested in this, head over to evilcontrollers.com. If you want to see some of the mods and add-ons, whatnot, head over to gamenatrix.com right now. I've got a picture up. They've got all kinds of really cool stuff.
And we've given away a shirt from them before. Somebody out there that won that shirt from us I told you we needed a picture of you in it. I appreciate you not giving us the picture.
Y'all going to get cut to the white meat.
It was a girl, too. I expect better.
It's a girl. Come on.
I expect better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my voice is going to hold up, Ginger.
I know.
We are just barely making it.
30 more minutes.
We can do it.
And then I'm going to go crawl back into bed, pull the covers up over my head.
Until later, don't forget, you're twice on today.
Yes, I can't wait.
Well, Snow White did update me at around 6:30 this morning, right as I was finally dozing off to sleep, to let me know she was unpacking boxes.
Yay!
She made it there safely, and she's unpacking. So good morning, Snow. You are missed and loved and all that good stuff.
Yes. We miss you, Miss Snow. We love you.
Mm-hmm. I've warned the people in Atlanta to stay off the streets because it's dangerous for them now. All right. Might want to stay off the streets, people. All right. So I just actually posted this up on on our site. So he's been a vampire. He's been a super spy and a drag queen. What's next for him? Who is this, you ask? Wesley Snipes.
Oh, all right. I was about to say, wait a minute. Why does this sound a little too?
Yes, he's been a drag queen. You've never seen a. Wait a minute. God, I forgot the name of it.
No, I guess not. I guess I missed it.
Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Thank you. That's the name of the movie. You have to see him. I'm jealous of his figure in that movie. He's gorgeous. What can I say? Anyway, him. All three of them. Him and. John Leguizamo and the late, great Patrick Swayze make very beautiful women, I have to say.
That's very interesting.
They do. But anyway, this time Wesley Snipes is going to be in an action-adventure game, Julia Stiles, the International. Now, this actually, for some reason, is posted up today for today's date, but they actually released it a couple of days ago or last week. They're, again, saying that it's going to be available for iPhone and iPad on August the 11th in the App Store. The concept, according to Mr. Snipes, for Julia Stiles, the International, is an amalgamation of the international spy, security specialist characters I've played in a couple of films. Why not the drag queen, too? That would have been kind of interesting. Except unlike previous characters I've played, who often have military special ops spy backgrounds, I needed a twist for him. Thus, Julia Stiles was born. Supposedly, it's a thrilling action-packed game that takes players deep into the treacherous world of economic espionage. I wonder why he did that. Could it have anything to do with that tax thing? Working for the assembly and elite circle of businessmen bent on channeling global funds into their pockets, players control Julia Stiles, voiced by Wesley Snipes himself. Of course, Julius is a facilitator, an economic hitman, an expert in persuasion, blackmail, and assassination. Combining a rapid-fire mind, unorthodox methods, and cutting-edge computer skills, he infiltrates governments, businesses, and other shadowy organizations to help them, or rather encourage them, to make the right decisions. He says, what we had here is an incredible opportunity to take an international celebrity whose film career, oh, shit, this is not him saying this, this is from Ika Immonen, who's the CEO of Lapland Studios, but they said his film career is categorized by nonstop thrill rides, and turn it into an unbelievable iOS title. Working with Wesley Snipes is an amazing experience for all of us here. We are huge fans of his movies, and lending us his talents for the game and makes for an unbelievably exciting time at Lapland. Presented in an isometric 3D style, Julia Stiles International is a one-of-a-kind adventure in which Julia gathers collects and combines items to create weapons and tools and solves intricate puzzles. Players use any means necessary to successfully complete the operation. The deeper he gets, the more things go wrong. Mistakes, accidents, miscalculations, dresses. Wait a minute, that's the movie.
Like you use a calculator.
Yeah, so there's no miscalculation. And if he'd worn a dress, he'd know that. He looks so good in the dresses. Julius can't shake the feeling that somebody is trying to stop him permanently. The question is who and how far will he go to stop them? Again, you can check out Julia Stiles.
Somebody's trying to stop you permanently, and you're not quite sure how far you're going to go to stop the person from stopping you.
Yeah. Mr. Snipes, who's handling the PR for this? You can pick this up or download it.
At me. Oh, that's fun. You'll keep shooting me. I'll think about doing something tomorrow.
Yes. Let me just sip my coffee for now. But again, you can check it out August the 11th. And you can also, if you're really, really interested, go to LaplandStudio.com. I'm wondering why he's not had a game before with all the Blade series. I guess that was before people really started getting into the movies to games. But that probably would have been one that people would have wanted to play. He had a huge following as Blade, so I don't know why.
Yes.
It was all laid out for you. Maybe, I'm going to be quiet because I'm not a comic book geek, so I'm going to get the wrong franchise, you know, the DC versus Marvel, so I forget which one, which side he's on, so I'm going to
shut up. Shame on you, Corey.
I know.
You should know that.
No, I shouldn't. I am not a comic book geek. My significant other is a comic book geek. I don't want to get cut because I know people are listening that have that whole thing, and I don't know which side he's on. I know he's with the Spider-Man people, and I think the Spider-Man is with the X-Men. I think I could be wrong, so that's all I know. But I don't know which one they are. Is it Marvel? Oh, I'm getting cut anyway. And people stop messaging me during the show. You know better. And the answer to the question to the person who just messaged me is yes, it is, and we've already covered that.
Y'all are in trouble. Y'all see what y'all did? Y'all done did it.
All right. Time for
four. Kasunite. Yeah.
Bless you.
Kasunite blesses iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. Yes. All right. So Konami Entertainment Today released a new title for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch entitled Kasunite. The first title to emerge from the strategic partnership between the publisher and independent studio, Revolutionary Concepts. Kasunite is based on an original concept by acclaimed film and television animator Matt Hamill. The game combines extraordinary hand-drawn visuals and animation with an original musical score to tell the story of an odd little pig with allergies. The pig, the runt of the litter, who narrowly escapes being captured when monsters invade his village, must find hidden levels of bravery and seeks to rescue his porcine love from the monstrous attackers. The highly addictive game is set in an alternate universe where cute characters face off against oddball monsters. In Kasunite, players guide the curly-tailed hero on his quest across 40 unique and increasingly challenging levels, filled with comically gross humor that will appeal to gamers of all ages. All right, they gave me no screenshots of this, so I can't even tell you what it looks like. But yeah, if you're interested in it, go look it up on the iTunes Store now. It looks like it's going for $1.19 pounds, London dollars, francs, something. And again, it is called Kasunite.
Bless you.
Yes, bless me. I had to say that like what, 5 times.
Yes, because you know they like to put it in there. It's called some kind of weird audio branding. I don't know. I did want to tell you, I played that Doodle pilot plane game yesterday. Remember we were talking about that? You fly the planes? You don't remember yesterday?
I do remember something about that, yes.
Vaguely. I played it. It's actually pretty fun. Really, people? No, really, it is fun. People are like, Yeah, really, I'm serious. It is fun. It's cute little hand-drawn dealy. Okay, I won't share anymore. see, that's what I get for sharing with you people. You know,
I love
you,
Toy.
I don't want your love. I want your games.
You want my love.
I want your games. I thought I was clear. Well, there's some mudslinging going on as usual. It kind of died down a bit, but it's about to pick up again. Because it is right before PAX, and then it'll die down again, and right before the holidays, it'll pick up again. But industry gamers has an interesting story up called iPhone Dev. Premium pricing is an inferior business model. This is one of the benefits of digital distribution is the ability to self-publish, and a benefit of self-publishing is the ability to experiment with your business model as you see fit. Appy Entertainment decided to experiment with its best-selling game, Trucks and Skulls, to see if premium or freemium was the better option. Appy brand director Paul O'Connor revealed to Pocket Gamer that the freemium model was a huge boon for the company. Trucks is normally sold for 99 cents, but with the release of Trucks and Skulls Nitro in June, Appy added a freemium store to its title. Daily revenue jumped 150% with the store's inclusion, a trend that held steady despite the ebb and flow of weekday and weekend sales. With a promotional opportunity coming from Free App a Day, Yeah, that's why you got all those sales. Appy decided to set the game free in early June. Downloads rose to 5,000%. The game was downloaded more than 100,000 times on Sunday, July the 3rd. Finally, Appy returned trucks to its original 99-cent price point to see if the freemium push affected overall revenues. He says, our data is limited since that time, but it appears the game has returned to revenue levels experienced prior to our free period, perhaps experiencing a slight decline. Okay. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
It was free. How exactly were you earning the money when it was free? Because I'm not hearing you say anything about microtransactions. He's saying it's still too early to determine if Trucks and Skulls will remain a premium plus premium title or if we'll make it free on a permanent basis, but it's certain that straight premium pricing is the inferior model. Our freemium store has allowed us to better serve and monetize our players and has liberated our daily revenue from a strict correspondence with download volume, allowing for pleasant surprises in our daily sales reports, such as that Monday that saw revenue increase, even as downloads of the app dropped off. With the success of freemium on Trucks and Skulls, Appy has reworked its other title, Face Fighter, for the same business model. What is with the names of these games? Mm-hmm. In addition, the developer has decided to make its future titles freemium as well. O'Connor cautions developers on rushing into the freemium model without providing value for customers, though. Respect your existing customer base, reward them for past play, and don't reduce the current functionality of your app. Make certain the freemium additions enhance and extend the base game without being required to advance. That's true. He said, don't turn your customers away with a hard paywall. Let them play as long as they like, and trust the quality of your game will generate revenue on its own. Continue to support your game with your free updates. I agree with him on one point, but I don't know. I guess that's just one of those things I'll have to experience on my own. Okay, wow, the espresso has hit the bloodstream. Look out. One more before the break, Ginger. One more before the break.
One more before the break. I've already read that one, actually. All right, hold on. Here we go. All right, 3D TV sales held back by 3D glasses.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We apparently lost our whole switchboard. That is not nice. So we're hoping you guys can still hear us out there. We lost the entire switchboard.
Do. Heads over to Blog Talk.
It is very, very odd. Page reloaded, and there is nothing. There we go. That was weird. Okay, quickly, Ginger. Before
All
we
right,
lose it again.
Quickly. 3D TV sales held back by 3D glasses. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from Home Media Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The NPD group says that a lot of Americans know about 3D technology but just don't seem to be all that interested. New data released by the research firm suggests that 3D TV technology isn't going to be adopted anytime soon. So why are consumers reticent to adopt 3D for their living rooms? The NPD Group's updated 3DS 360-degree monitor, a survey from the last September found that participants were less inclined to purchase a 3D, including watching 3D theatrical movies. With the run-up to the holiday purchase season, the intent to purchase 3D televisions followed by the purchase intent to buy TVs in general, said Ross Rubin, Executive Director of Industry Analysis at NPD. As NPD's sell-through data shows, sales of 3D TVs did indeed rise during the holiday season, but they have since receded due to the seasonality of major electronics purchases. But the biggest problem with 3D adoption in America seems to be related to the use of 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. Consumers just don't want to have to use them when watching television. 3D glasses surpass the price of 3D TV as the most frequently cited objection, according to NPD. Despite complaints on 3D glasses, 42% of consumers think that price is a major roadblock, up from 38% last September. While price and glasses remain a problem for those companies trying to get more people to buy 3D TV technology, they can take solace in the fact that consumers are well-informed about the technology. Rubin goes on to say, with lighter and less expensive active shutter glasses, a mix of smaller displays, and the entry of passive 3D technologies into the market, the industry is offering more 3D options to consumers. A greater array of Blu-ray titles, along with new digital delivery alternatives, is also helping to ease the path to 3D entertainment. I just don't see the point, but all right. That's why I don't do it.
Well, let's take it to a single girl. I've got money standpoint. No woman wants to bring her date home to watch a movie on TV and they have on glasses, that just ruins the whole romance factor. I'm just take, you know, just from a cute cigarette girl factor.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't want to wear the glasses because I tend to fall asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you're wearing the glasses, nobody will notice.
No, it'll hurt when I fall. My head falls back to the side. Sleep with those things on. You ever see somebody try to sleep with big glasses on?
Oh, love this song.
Of course, as you can tell, it's time for our break. We'll stop talking for you this Thursday. We just suddenly cut off before I could tell them anything. Very nice. I love you, Scott.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Apparently, GLaDOS loves them, too.
But, ooh, I like this Scott Pilgrim boy.
GLaDOS, get off of him.
You know, lunch is truly what you make it. I just had a lunch of coffee and crackers. I don't think I've done that since college.
Very nice.
And then it was because I had no choice. Some of you out there are going through that now. Let me just tell you, oatmeal is excellent for when you are poor. Oatmeals and coffees. That's a very nice breakfast. Very nice. Oranges and cheap bran flakes. That was my breakfast. All right. Okay, I'm going to turn that down. I got some interesting news.
I'm sorry. Whoa. That accent. Woman. All right.
You know, you love when I do that.
I do love all your little accents.
Okay, I had some interesting news. God only knows what happened to it. Seriously. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, duh. I had a telegram come in from El Presidente, from Tropico. You guys know him.
Oh.
I love the title of this telegram. I was a dictator even before it became mainstream.
Oh.
Yes, we love him. So in this lovely telegram that he sent in, they did get it in 4 times, so I have to read it. But it says, "Dear comrade, I'm about to return to Tropico in the 4th installment of the ever-popular series where you get to play me, El Presidente, and rule over your own Caribbean island nation, being either a benevolent leader or a ruthless dictator. Now that the game's release draws near, I shall provide you with exclusive information, useful advice. The loyal underlings I have conveniently installed within the Gamerzine's headquarters have prepared a tome full of exquisite information on Tropico 4. I have seen it and can assure you it's quite revealing." So we do have that guide, which I'll share with you. He says, "Once, of course, you've devoured all the information, you will need to pre-order the game, of course. This is the only way I can measure the true support of my people and ensure that our vision of Tropico's future is fulfilled, or else. Yours truly, El Presidente." Wow. Yes, and he also has a Twitter, @LSpacePress. And if you want to get the game, you don't have to pre-order. It is available now. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's available at the end of August for 360 and Windows PC. Mm-hmm. You can also pick it, looks like, on Steam. And it looks like, I'm not sure. I'm seeing a bunch of links here at the bottom. Yeah, check it out. Oh, they're also saying if you're in Germany, mm-hmm. You can pop over to, they're having a booth at Gamescom August 17th through the 16th, and you can play a full working version of Tropico. They're going to be located in Hall 6, booth A51, if you want to go play that. For our German listeners.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I'm going to follow El Prez on Twitter because I want to see if... Oh, my God. This is a bunch of German text that popped up first. That was really...
The Germans are invading. Twitter.
Yeah, like his Twitter. My election speech is going out to all the users this minute. Did you get yours? we love you, El Presidente.
All right, so coming soon. Are you done, by the way?
Bye. I hope so, because I got to sip this coffee.
All right, so coming soon, a new Gamer Twin Pack, generic bundle accessories from IMP. IMP are pleased to announce the release of their new generic bundle box accessories, the Gamer Twin Pack. With consumers always looking for good deals and great gift ideas, the IMP Gamer Twin Pack bundle boxes allow distributors and retailers to create bespoke bundle packs by including a compatible software title with the accessory in the same pack. Being generic, the bundle boxes can either be sold via distribution as is, allowing retailers to include games as one-off bundles to add value clear old. What? Who wrote this? A slow-moving inventory or even trade-in. Alternatively, both distribution and retailers can achieve higher volumes where inventory allows and can even be coordinated via software publishers to add value and create a point of difference to new lines or to help sell slower moving titles. All right, so what all is in this? The first IMP Gamer Twin Pack designs include Move Pro Pistol, Wii Pro Pistol, Wii Pro Steering Wheel, and it looks like this is going to be available from the UK in mid-August. They are not giving me any kind of pricing. It's supposed to be cheap, though. So, it just looks like Wii accessories, but kind of colored. So.
Time to accessorize.
Yes, yes, yes. But it looks like they may sell them with games, depending on who's selling it. So, be kind of cool.
Is it red? Because that's my color.
No, it's like white with like a little bit of red, but no. Cheap.
Well, those of you, more of our people across the pond, going to the Eurogamer Expo will be very excited to know. Naughty Dog and Insomniac have added their blockbuster titles Uncharted 3 and Resistance 3 to the playable lineup at Eurogamer Expo in September. Naughty Dog's Richard Lamarchand will also present a developer session about Uncharted 3. Since we're huge fans of Naughty Dog and Insomniac games at Eurogamer, so we're especially delighted that Uncharted 3 and Resistance 3 will be playable. Also, that's from Tom Bromwell, operations and director of Eurogamer. I bet he has a lovely accent. What do you think, Ginger?
I bet he does.
Where? He says it's also great.
Here.
Yes. He says it's also great that Richard will be on stage to showcase Nathan Drake's latest adventure to attendees. We'll be announcing a lot more exclusive developer session speakers very soon. The full lineup for the show is yet to be announced, but ID Software, Alienware, EA, Square Enix, Konami, and Namco Bandai are just some companies supporting the event. Sega will also present the Eurogamer Expo Indie Arcade. The Eurogamer Expo takes place September 22nd to the 25th at Earls Court 1 and is expected to attract around 30,000 visitors. I am, of course, not allowed to go. Half the available tickets have already been sold, so you need to get yours if you haven't gotten it already. Games Industry Biz is also going to be holding a career fair for those of you in the UK that need a job. You know, make sure y'all stop by and tell them we sent you. Please, good luck with that. I'm hoping you get one.
All right, so it's my turn for another story.
Whoop whoop.
All right, Asda 2 launches its first update. The Flamio update includes new maps, a higher level cap, hundreds of new quests, pets, and more. All right, so GamesCampus.com announced today that the launch of the first content patch for its popular MMORPG, Asda 2. The Flamio update adds three new maps, the introduction of the coveted pet system, a new player versus player tier to challenge, and new items and equipment for both PvE and PvP competitors. With the new update comes with Inferno's Continent, aimed towards high-level users. This new landmass brings three new maps, hundreds of new quests, and countless items. To go along with these zones, the level cap will be increased to 55 from the current 50. To add to the player's travels is the addition of the popular pet system in this update, which opens up with a selection of 11 different furry and fun pets who will grow in size as they level up and will be available in common, uncommon, and rare versions. For those seeking some player versus player action, Asda 2 continues to deliver. Once players surpass the old level cap of 50, they are immediately placed in a new tier for the faction war battling and will be set to challenge the best of the opposing faction. Players now also use their earned honor points from the faction wars at the honor shop for better equipment and even premium items. Also part of this update for all players is the new level up boxes that reward players every 5 levels as they progress through the game. Rewards from these boxes improve as players reach each level's milestones. Another addition is the style shop, which allows for further character customization, a popular request among players. Deep character skill customizations and 8 character classes available. Asda 2 is completely free to register, download, and play. It's in a game world that emphasizes intense competition and collaboration between its players. For more information about Games Campus or Asda 2, you can visit asda2.campus.com.
No, and you cannot make me.
No, why not?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
She has no fight in her day, so she would have threatened me.
No.
Ginger, I don't think I like this. Am I going to have to cut some people?
No, I'm just tired. I stayed home.
I'm like, I'm not going to
I have fun. I had a lot of fun, but I'm so tired.
Can we talk about the Louisiana governor, Bobby Jindal?
No, we didn't.
I am not a... Okay, well...
Are you not a Louisiana Jindal fan?
I'm not a fan of any of these people that were wanting to ban the games, and now suddenly it's, oh, let's all go play. It's because it's the devil. It would take EA to get you guys to bend. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal joined EA's head of worldwide quality assurance, Mike Robinson, LSU Chancellor Michael V. Martin, and Mayor President Kip Holden at a groundbreaking ceremony of the 94,000 square foot Louisiana Digital Media Center. The new facility will be home to 600 video game development workers and LSU's Center for Computation and Technology. It says, we're proud to Louisiana, the permanent home of EA's North American Test Center, as part of LSU's Digital Media Center, said the governor. We're quickly becoming a major player in the digital media industry. No, you're not. Which is creating more high-paying and high-tech jobs for our people so they don't have to leave the state to pursue the career of their dreams. We continue to make major investments in higher education at LSU and across our state, so we're becoming the best place in the world for business to grow and succeed. When completed, the $29.3 million project will feature a three-story structure on LSU's main campus. LSU's Center for Computation and Technology, which marks its 10th anniversary this month, have been looking for a permanent home for its programs for quite some time. The goal of the center is to drive academic and business research. The state has been working with EA to find a permanent home for the company's North American Test Center, which was located on LSU's South Campus since 2008. Half of its 400 employees are full-time. It is expected to open next year. No exact date has been given just as of yet. The center is being funded by state dollars and LED funds. Why isn't why didn't EA fund it with all these millions they have? Taxpayers having to pay. So anyway, the U.S. Economic Development Administration also contributed. You can't say that word today. They gave them a $3 million grant. EA will be a major private sector tenant with 30,000 square feet, and LSU's Center for Computation and Technology will take up 50,000 square feet. The facility will also serve as the home of the new Avatar Initiative at LSU. Avatar, which is an acronym for Arts, Visualization, Advanced Technologies, and Research, combines faculty, various vocations with students to conduct research and to complete projects in virtual environments, digital art, electroacoustic music, animation, video game design, specific visualization, and more. EA is one of several firms that have taken advantage of Louisiana's digital interactive media and software tax credit. Yes, but would they allow, say, what if Ubisoft came and said, you know, we want in on this, would they be allowed to since EA has so much hold?
I don't know. That's an interesting thought, though.
Very, very interesting. We just got time for one more, and then we're just going to break and take a nap so we can be fresh for you guys later, because I'm telling you, I need to nap in the worst way.
Yes. All right, so Viva Media snagged Nuclear Dawn Modern Combat Rising. Take aim to play this new first-person shooter real-time strategy game. All right, so Viva Media and Just a Game announced today that the North American retail version of Nuclear Dawn, a Source multiplayer game that combines the visceral action of a first-person shooter with the deep branching gameplay of a real-time strategy. Nuclear Dawn is the first game to offer a full FPS and RTS experience within a single gameplay mode, without crippling or diluting either side of the game. The game is slated for release at the end of September and will be available for PC and Mac. All right, so there are a couple of features, two factions to play, four classes of soldiers. You can squad up, squad-based 32-player full warfare battle mode, six maps, advanced weaponry, stats and unlocks, 60 ranks, 12 unlocks for each weapon, SDK, Nuclear Dawn Software Development Kit, source-powered based on the L4, Left 4 Dead 2 engine and modified to bring the ultimate online battle experience. Steam powered, available for both Mac and PC through Steam Play with Steam Cloud support. Awesome.
Steam Cloud, I like that.
They did not give me any kind of price, so I don't know if this is going to be free to play or not.
Oh, well. We'll live.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's our show today. Thank you for coming.
Yay! Don't forget to come back tonight because I'll be here. It'll be awesome.
Yes, she will. She'll be trying to derail the chat room, but. She'll be talking, so you guys get to derail her.
Yay!
Ask her what she was giggling about. yesterday.
Wait, what was I giggling about yesterday?
I don't know. I got to go back and listen to the news again. Then I'll ask you tonight. I'll remind you of what we were talking about and then say, you remember this?
Oh, boy. I didn't do it.
You didn't do it. You were the... Oh.
Wasn't me.
Ginger's bad. Did y'all know Ginger was bad? That's why we keep her, but... We do try to warn you. Don't get caught up. Or do. We like to read about it.
I warn them. Nobody ever believes me, though.
Oh, it's dancing time. It's hot. Are you hot? You guys know where to find us. GamingAnswers.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. Here, 24/7, iTunes.
Later, boys and girls.